You're about to hear the Sunday sermon from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas, a family who's devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about today's lesson, visit us on our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thanks for listening. Good morning. Well, if you weren't here last week, I want to suggest you go back and watch the sermon online. I know it's summer. I know we're going to be in and out based on vacations and camps and other trips and things. But if you happen to miss a Sunday, I'm going to encourage you, go online and watch. Watch it live from wherever you are or watch the sermon. We know how valuable the resource is, so we spend money so we can have this capability. Why? Well, we're all growing together here. If you miss a Sunday, you miss a lot. So go online, watch it. And for those of you who might have missed last week, we talked about passion. What is it that fires us up? As I was speaking last week, a little girl asked her mom, Mom, what does passion mean? And her mom told her it was something you really, really liked. So as this little girl listened, she started writing down those things that she's passionate about. And this is what she said. This little piece of paper right here. You'll see it says passion in the middle. There's lots of little words on there. You have Poppy, some of her friends' names. You have Grammy, G-Paw, Princess, Ponies, Books. And if you look at the lower right, you'll see it says Squishy Nose. I asked her what that meant. She said to me very seriously, she says, well, that's my lovey. The passions of an innocent child. You know, I wonder if sometimes God doesn't see our passion like this. I'm going to try something this week. So let's try it right now. I'm going to give you permission. Take your phones out right now. Go ahead and just one day only. Don't know the next time I'm going to do this. So take out your phones, and I want you to check into Facebook, Grapevine Church of Christ, and I want you to go on Twitter or whatever you use. It could be Instagram or whatever. And for the next moment, I want you to check in, and I want you to post something that you're passionate about. So go ahead and do that real quick. Whatever that is, just write it out there. If it's about seeing the end of slavery in our lifetime, you know, we've got about 20 plus million slaves in the world today. So if your passion is to see the end of slavery, then write down my passion to see the end of slavery in my lifetime. And then I want you to hashtag it, Fired Up Grapevine. So let's just get started together. I'm going to do that myself too. All right, for those of you who have a phone, I'm doing it right now. One day only. Okay, go. All right, hashtag fired up grapevine. Now, for the rest of you, you can do this a little later today if you need access to a computer. Or you can email me what you're passionate about. Email me at scott@grapevinechurch.com. I would love to hear what it is you're passionate about. Shouldn't take you about another 10 more seconds. I'll wait. Mm-hmm. All right, that's for me. And post. Good. All right, now the hard part, this is the hard part. Once you're done, you ready? Take the phone and hold it in your hand. And now see that Facebook? See the little X? Turn off Facebook. You know, just turn it off. If you have a Bible app, just put your Bible app on there. And don't get caught in the Facebook rabbit hole, because once you start looking at Facebook, then all of a sudden you will get down to the next story and the next story, and you'll realize you've just spent 3 hours on Facebook. You'll look up, no one else will be here. So put your Facebook up, right? Okay. I'm very excited about seeing these today. All right, today I want you to consider what you're passionate about. Think about what it is that fires you up. That's what we're talking about today. Let me begin by saying, by the way, that I'm a very passionate person. There are some things that fire me up besides my family and my faith. Some are worth noting. Others are kind of embarrassing. But I'll do it. I'll go just consider this a time of confession here. I'll start by saying one of the things I'm passionate about is food. That's right. If you ask me about a vacation I've been on, me or my wife, it'll probably include food. Some meal that we had that made the vacation really good. We love it. We love to cook. We love to eat. That's my confession. Man, that felt good. All right, well, let's do this again. I'm passionate about movies. I used to be a cultural glutton. I would see anything and everything that came out. I knew film. I knew how to talk about it. I followed it. I even enrolled in film school for 5 minutes and ended up being way too expensive. And, you know, those people are different. You know, it's a passion that's faded over time, but it is still part of me. And in that, I have to admit, Star Trek is one of those things that I'm passionate about, as oddly as that sounds. Yes, I am in confession time here. Building things. I love to work with my hands, to work with wood. I love it. I'm still learning, though. But one of my main passions is God at work in the church. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had that involves what God is doing in his church, this church in particular. And just in case you're wondering, God is doing something here. I'm inspired. You know, if you want to get fired up about anything at all, then start looking around when you come to church, and come to church with your eyes open. And if you do, you might just be as inspired by the person sitting beside you as I am. So today we're going to build on the question that we're asking. We're going to go a little deeper. So everyone look up here real quick. This is this week's question. Are you ready? Are you passionate about the same things that God is passionate about? Are you passionate about the same things that God is passionate about? And I'm sure you're asking, well, yeah, of course I am. But what would that be exactly? Well, I'm glad you asked. I think the best answer to that question involves looking at a young man named David. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 13 today and 1 Samuel chapter 16. So if you turn to Acts 13, you'll see Paul is recounting this story of Israel and how God has been with them every step of the way. He makes his way through the story to the first king of Israel, Saul. And then he says this, starting in verse 21. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, who reigned for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he made David their king. In his testimony about him, he said, I have found David, son of Jesse, to be a man after my own heart, who will carry out all my wishes. Wow. Now, I know David's story is not new. We all know how he killed Goliath the giant, how he became king, how he failed miserably on several occasions, how he became an adulterer and a murderer all within the span of a month or two. We feel like we know David, you know, how he humbled himself. I can remember several times, you know, asking God to make me like David. Of course, as I got older, I started to rethink that prayer. I don't want to be brash. I don't want to be angry or a murderer or a slave to my desires. I have enough problems of my own. But David was a passionate man. He was the pinnacle of what Israel could do when it followed God and was humble. But let's face it, when you read the story, you'll find David wasn't really a nice man. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we'll see if we can figure out how David and why David is called a man after God's own heart. Let's start reading in verse 5. It says this, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you grieve over Saul? I've rejected him from being king over Israel. So fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons.' When they came, he looked on Eliab, and he thought, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart.'" Imagine the moment here. Jesse's sons passed before Samuel, but none of them measured up to what God had in mind. These were all very strong and very striking men. You know, but God wasn't interested in that, nor was he impressed. Sometimes I look around and I wonder why some people aren't more successful. I see them, and on the outside, on paper, they seem like they could and should rule the world, but they aren't. They get passed over. And then I look at successful people and I wonder how in the world did they get to where they are? In some cases, I think it has absolutely nothing to do with their training or their physical capability, things we seem to be more focused on today than anything else. But in some cases, I think one person's more successful than another because they have a deeper sense of purpose and passion. Now, I'm not talking about generic intensity. I'm talking about a genuine passion about something in particular. course, I could turn this into a motivational seminar. I could tell you how the founder of Virgin Atlantic, Richard Branson, suffered from dyslexia, how he was a horrible student, but's now a billionaire who wants to send people into space for fun. I could tell you how Benjamin Franklin dropped out of school at age 10, how he was so passionate about education that he just taught himself everything he could by reading anything he could. And we all know where that got him. I could inspire you with Einstein stories. You know, one of Einstein's biggest blunders, the biggest mistake he ever thought he made is actually now turning out to be true. Whenever your biggest mistake is still pretty good, that's inspiring, right? But if this were a motivational seminar, it would get us to thinking that one day we could be successful and rich and famous and smart. But that's not really the point of this lesson. But the fact is that some people have a passion that inspires, and they may not look like much because the things they love stem from something deep inside of them. They live a life that cannot be ignored. David was this way. But funny enough, when Samuel was there trying to make a king, David wasn't even at the kingmaker ceremony. So Samuel passes by all the more qualified brothers, and then he says this to David's father. Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" This is verse 11. And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he's keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send him and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." What I love here is that David wasn't even considered. "Oh, David? Really? No, he's not like us, Samuel. You don't understand. He's hard to manage. This is why we have him out in the field. You know, the only thing he's really good at is taking care of those difficult sheep. We have to have sheep. It's part of life, and the other brothers have all paid their dues. You don't really want him. He smells like sheep." I can only imagine Samuel thinking, "Well, here we go. God must know what he's doing." You know, it doesn't say what Samuel said of David when he got there, but what we know is that David was anointed king of Israel. He was an immature shepherd. Granted, we see later he was a passionate shepherd, but what set him apart? Well, we find David wasn't out there just paying his dues or biding his time. No, he was doing the job no one else wanted to do, but he was doing it with a passionate and a grateful heart. He was probably gone for a few days at a time, but he was writing music. He was writing prayers to God. We have an entire book of them. They're still being sung. And he wasn't just lazily feeding his sheep. He was watching them, protecting them. He even killed a lion and a bear in order to protect his sheep. This wasn't just another boy or another shepherd. This was a leader, a warrior, a priest in training. Have you ever felt like that? David wasn't even qualified to lead yet. He wasn't ready to be king. He wasn't called a man after God's own heart because he was more qualified or because he was more skilled. David was a man after God's own heart because he was passionate about the things of God. How do we know? Well, look at the music of his heart and the soul. Psalm 42 says, "As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for the God, for the living God." David was thirsty for God. He was also humble. We see a prayer, David says, in 2 Samuel 7, verse 18 says, "Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, 'Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far?'" David cared about being right with God. In Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, he says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." David also had an unwavering belief in God. He spoke boldly to God. And one thing we know is that he eagerly expected God to provide for him, even in the worst of circumstances. And he had some bad circumstances. Now, I know that some of you might feel a bit detached from this story. You may think, "Yeah, of course. David was passionate. God was molding him, raising him up for greatness. But for me, I'm just a teacher or a manager or a student or a you fill in the blank." The truth is, when Samuel found David, David was the runt of the family, doing the job no one else wanted to do. He was a smelly, scrawny shepherd that was completely forgettable to even his father. But you know, you want to know what God saw? He saw himself. And I think God got fired up about this man's passion, so he gave him his spirit. And from David's life, this imperfect, this difficult, turbulent, but fired up life of David, we get the Savior of the universe, Jesus Christ, from the lineage and line of David. Did you know that when God sees you, he doesn't see what we see? He doesn't label you by your profession. God doesn't even see a person who's on their third job in 2 years, or he doesn't even see the run of the litter. God sees your heart. He sees if you care about the poor or the outsider. He sees if you care about loving others or protecting them or bringing those who are lost into a relationship with him. He sees if you care about the people of God. He's looking into your heart. He's looking at those things that inspire you. Is he in there somewhere? Will he see himself? Will he see his son in the beat of your heart? You know, here's something to think about as we close our lesson today. Everyone look up here and think about this. This is a statement. Passionate people attract passionate people. I would even say passionate people create passionate people. Now, I understand that you may be empty. Maybe you're looking for someone to inspire. You're looking for someone who's living the life you want to live or seeing the world as you want to see it. And if you find that person, then you can piggyback on their passion and excitement. There's nothing wrong with that. Let their fire kindle yours. But there will come a moment when you'll have to get off their back and start burning on your own. And the truth is, you may find that their passion is not enough for you. Through their passion, though, and their excitement, you might discover an entirely new passion of your own. You know, he wasn't perfect, but David's passion was a gift. His fire for God led him forward, and people followed. Did you know that 600 men, that's just the men, not the women and children, 600 men followed David before he was a king? Why? Because passionate people create passionate people. Now let's get deeper for just a moment. I think a deeper statement is this. People who are passionate for God create people who are passionate for God. And I'll say it again, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be a minister to act on your love for God. Love moves us to do some amazing things. And when we act on the passion we have for our Savior, people notice. Do you act on your passion for God? Do you act on it with your church family, at the ball field, at work, at home, at school? Does it move you to tell your story, to serve others, to lift others up and encourage them, to walk humbly, to thirst for God, to have an unwavering belief? And if so, how would that shape your sphere of influence? How would that passion shape the ministry that this church is able to do, or the impact of God to the people here in and around this community? And honestly, passion looks different for all of us. Some people are passionately outgoing. Some people are passionately introspective. Some people need to be pulled. Some people need to be pushed. Some people need to do the pushing and pulling. But the truth is that unused passion has a very short shelf life. So use it. Do not waste it. But just as passionate people create passionate people, this is also true. Apathetic people create apathetic people. Which one will you be? I want to give you a moment to respond here. So let's all stand together. Let's close our eyes. This is your moment. This is between you and God. How will you respond to what God is calling you to do today? If you don't have a passion for him, what will you ask God to give you? Will you ask him to help you create followers of Jesus Christ? Resist the urge to make your choice later. What is God calling you to do right here and right now? Let's pray together for a moment. God, give us a moment to consider what we are passionate about. Lord, if our passions are not for you and for the things of God, Lord, help us to see how we can make that different. Lord, if we're not thirsty for you, give us a thirst that only you can fulfill. God, if we're not fired up, if we are empty, give us people around us who are passionate, who are people we can look to and get inspired by and fired up by. Lord, help us. Help us to live lives and not to waste our lives, to live as passionate people. Help us to be passionate about the things of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to the Sermon Podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcast to hear special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, visit our website, www.grapevinechurch.com.